This is an interview with Mrs. Ann Turpak for the Youngstown State University History of St. Nicholas Byzantine Catholic Church Project by Mary Lou Chirilla at Mrs. Turpak's home on the 18th of November, 1986 at 11 o'clock a.m. Mrs. Turpak, before we begin talking about yourself, can you give me a little bit of background about your own family, your parents or your grandparents, if you remember them, too?
Well, I was born in Farrell, Pennsylvania.
Farrell? Mm-hmm.
And my mother, my father, my two brothers, and I was the middle one. And, what can I say? You want me to say something about Farrell?
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. All I remember is that we live on Spearman Street, mm-hmm. and St. Michael, the Byzantine Catholic Church, was on the same street.
Okay.
So that's all I remember.
Mm-hmm. That's all right.
How the houses were, you know, on the street and the church. And I know I went around the corner to the movies with my brother. He was watching me, he was a little older. And that's all I remember from that.
That's okay.
That part.
That's fine.
And then in 1921, we moved to Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And with where my parents were from, that was in Zavadka, Czechoslovakia. It's a Spish County, I think they call
okay.
it. And then I started school there. First kindergarten and then school.
Mm-hmm. And so you were just, about 5 years old at
yes.
this time?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and in that village, I only had one grandmother on my father's side. On my mother's side, grandparents were dead. And my grandfather on my father's side, too.
Okay.
So, when we moved there, we just rented the house, and we built a new home there. I started school, and the village has only one church and one school, and the school with two teachers. The church was Byzantine Rite, there was no Roman Rite church or any other kind.
Mm-hmm.
But we had a lot of Roman Catholic people there, but they all went together to that one church.
Okay.
Because they can, you know, marry from other villages. So, I don't remember the name of the priest that was that time. He was married, he had
mm-hmm.
children.
Mm-hmm.
What else can I say?
Was the school a part of the parish also?
No, that was government school.
Okay.
But we had religion twice a week.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And also at the same time we had to learn the Cyrillic. Because the prayer books were all in Cyrillic.
Okay.
So we had that class on Wednesday and I think on Saturday.
They taught you that at church?
No, in school.
Oh, in school.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That was extra.
I see.
Mm-hmm. But otherwise, everything was in Slovak language,
mm-hmm.
which is very pretty, very
yes.
beautiful language.
Mm-hmm.
And at home, we taught with the dialect. It was Slovak mixed with maybe a little Russian,
mm-hmm.
and maybe even a little German, because the next village was German people.
Okay.
And,
so that was what it was like
yeah.
for you as a child. Okay. Do you remember why your parents moved back to Europe from Farrell?
Yes, I do, because my father lost his hearing.
Uh-huh.
He was working in a factory, and the factory had only roof, nothing outside.
Mm-hmm.
And he got a very bad cold, and he lost his hearing. So he was only 32, and he couldn't hear. And when he started going to the doctors all over, they couldn't help him. So somebody said that European doctors are much better than here.
Mm-hmm.
So he decided to take the whole family to Europe. And he started going to the doctors there, but nobody could help him.
Okay. What about schooling past the grade school level? Did you go on to a high school there?
Yes, mm-hmm. to junior high school. And if you want to go further, you have to go to the city, because that's a village.
I see.
And you had to have you have to pay a room and board
in the village to go to the city.
Yes, mm-hmm. to the city. Mm-hmm. And that was expensive for people that just work at the farms. They didn't have much money to spend extra. Mm-hmm. But I went for the high school.
Oh, you did.
Mm-hmm. My brother, he graduated with teacher's college. My parents really...
They sacrificed for you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And my sister, too.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we went to Europe, I have older brother than me and another brother. And my sister was born in Europe.
Okay.
And another brother.
So five children
altogether.
Maybe you
should stay because I have children.
It's okay. That's fine.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they sacrifice. Mm-hmm. They want us to have an easier, better life. But if you had education, it helped there too. And it's
sure.
just like here
sure.
too, you know.
What did you study in school?
But that was just high school for me.
Mm-hmm.
And my sister was a teacher and my brother was a teacher.
I see.
I'm only the one left. The whole family's dead. Only my mother and me left.
That must be hard.
And my mom is 95.
Is she here with you now?
No.
She's still in Europe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then, what did you do past the high school years?
Just work at home. Mm-hmm. I got married at 18.
Did you?
Mm-hmm. So when we got married, I moved with my in-laws.
Mm-hmm.
And we worked on their farm because they have a bigger farm. They have to hire people to help out.
Mm-hmm.
And we were there for how many, 4 years? 5 years. 5 years with them. And by then, the Slovak Republic was born. So when we came to Europe in 1921, it was Czechoslovakia.
Right.
Which was formed from Czech people, Silesian, Moravian, Slovak, and Rusyn, like they call Ruthenia now.
Ruthenia.
So there was five little states, or what do we call it, in one Czechoslovakia.
Okay.
And but after the World War II, everything was changed, and they formed Slovak Republic. Germany took the Czech part, and Silesian, and Moravia, and Slovakia was formed like an independent state,
mm-hmm.
independent country.
Mm-hmm.
And Ruthenia was included to Ukraine at that time.
Mm-hmm.
They had their own country for maybe a month. That's all. They wanted to have it just like Slovakia has.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But they only had it for maybe a month or 3 months. I'm not even sure about that. But Slovak government had Slovakia country for 6 years.
I see.
And that was really nice. That was it, like a little Switzerland, they call. We had a free everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when my husband got the government job in 1939.
What did he do with this job?
He was working for the Ministry of Foreign Affairs.
Foreign Affairs.
See, I don't think you should have me because I have such an accent, you know.
No, I think it's beautiful.
And we moved to Bratislava.
Mm-hmm.
And we lived there for only maybe a year and a half. And he was transferred to Sofia, Bulgaria, to the consulate.
Okay.
Because of his English language and a little bit of Russian language, he got the job. and then the typing and all that. So we were in Sofia for 3 years, and then we were transferred to, well, he was transferred to Stockholm.
In Sweden.
In Sweden, and we were there for 2 years. But in every country we had a Byzantine church.
Okay.
Like Bulgaria has, most of the Bulgaria is Orthodox.
Yes.
But they had, you know, Roman Catholic churches, they have all kinds of other churches that you can go to, but we had Byzantine church there. We joined that one. Then, but we didn't have it in Stockholm. We had to go to Roman Catholic. And but we like that. I mean, we like Stockholm. You know, it's a democratic country and independent. They were not in war ever. So it was really nice. Mm-hmm. And then by then, the war was over. They formed another Czechoslovakia, so we had to move back home. And we were in Bratislava for maybe 3 months or so. And he had to be clear, because communist government already took over then.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody had to be checked what he was doing before. And but he was clear because he wasn't active in communism or anything like that. He just did his job and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
At the consulate in Bulgaria and in Stockholm, he was, what was he doing? The visa, passport and visa.
Okay.
And the payroll. That was his job in both places.
Mm-hmm.
And typing. You had to have typing. So when he was clear, we went to live in Prague, and from there he was transferred to Hamburg, Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And we were there for 2 years, I think. And in 1950, they asked him to return home. But by then, in our country, it was really bad.
Communism
mm-hmm. took over everything, and so we didn't want to go back. So that's when he resigned, in December 1949. And 1950, in June, we came over here.
Did you come directly from Germany?
Mm-hmm.
You never went back to your country after that?
Oh, I went for a visit.
Oh, okay.
Not my husband.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. I went for a visit. I was there 3 times already, you know, to see my sister before she died. She was very ill for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went twice, once with my granddaughter and once with my daughter-in-law, just to show them the country. The country is beautiful, but it's nothing like it used to be.
No.
It was beautiful before because everything was private. Everybody took care of their own property.
Mm-hmm.
Now everything is government and nobody cares.
They don't have that pride?
No.
Mm-hmm.
It's not theirs. They don't feel it's not mine. Why should I care?
I see.
And everything is run down and so gloomy looking.
Mm-hmm. What about the church?
You get sick just to be there before and to go there now.
Mm-hmm.
The church, they still have church, and the priest, that they have priest now, they really have to sign that they're going to do what the government tells them to do.
I see. That's the only way they allow them
That's
to be
the only priests. Way they can be a priest.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, they in private, they can probably do anything they want to.
Yes.
But when they serve in church, they even the sermon, they have to be very careful what they say.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, I visited the church in Sabatka, and then, you know, because my mom lives in Threshold now, which is lower city, you know, it's nice.
Okay. Now, you said you came to America in 1950. Mm-hmm. Did you come to Youngstown at that time?
Yes, to Campbell, because to my Campbell. Husband had two brothers in Campbell. Mm-hmm. So that's when we lived in Campbell for over 2.5 years.
Did you stay with the brothers for a while?
For 1 month.
Oh,
then we rented a house.
I see.
House.
And
with our three children. That's my three children there.
Mm-hmm. Were they, how old were they at this time?
Oh, well, Jenny was about 12, Boris was 10, Nadine was 3 years old.
Mm-hmm. And what about you? What were your first impressions coming to America?
Oh, my first impression was very bad.
Really?
Very bad.
Why?
Because I live in countries that, you know, like we went to Stockholm.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't compare Stockholm with Campbell.
Right.
That time, all the mills were working, and it was so black, everything. And Campbell especially, because all that smoke went that way.
Uh-huh.
I wasn't
uh-huh.
used to that. I cried every day. Oh, God, I didn't have any family here,
right.
Just his family. Mm-hmm. And people don't really understand when you come here, you know, your feelings. How you feel? You left the country that you love.
Mm-hmm. Did you
American people don't understand when you come here how you know how you really feel.
Did you know the language yet at
mm-hmm.
this time?
Mm-hmm. No? Just a few words.
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, like he resigned 1949 end of December. So from that time, or 1st of January, he was unemployed. And we live in a British zone. So the British people were very nice to us. They left us live in the apartment we lived before,
mm-hmm.
and we bought groceries from there, from wherever we got before,
mm-hmm.
and until we got our papers straight and that we could live. And they even gave my husband a job. But in Stockholm and in Hamburg, there was no Byzantine Rite Church. We had to go to Roman Rite Churches.
Okay. Did you join St. Nicholas Church when you came here?
Yes, right away.
Mm-hmm.
They both, his brothers were members of St. Nicholas, so we just, and it wasn't too far from the church, you know, to Campbell.
And Father Romack was pastor.
Father Romack
at the time,
was
right?
The pastor. Mm-hmm. We liked him. He was very nice.
Did the church in any way help you to get settled?
No, we never asked.
No, you didn't?
No, we never asked. Okay. See, Andy, his brother, and Mike, they were contractors building homes. So Andy right away gave him a job.
I see.
And he had to learn carpentry to make a living that time.
Okay. Maybe what I meant to say was, did they make you feel welcomed? Did they help you get to know anybody, you know, in the neighborhood, anything like that?
Well, yes, because the neighbors were Byzantines.
Okay.
You know.
Uh-huh.
And we right away joined the church, so they were friendly, oh yes.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And Mrs. Romay and Father Romay, they were nice. They welcomed us, oh yes.
Uh-huh. Did you find the church here in America very different from the one in Europe, the Byzantine ones that
mm-hmm.
you were used to there? Were the customs the same or different?
Yes. See, when I was growing up in Europe, every Sunday you went to church 3 times a day.
Did you?
The morning service, the 10 o'clock, the high mass, and 2 o'clock at the Vespers.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, you know, you just went. There was no questions.
Oh, so you mean early morning.
Oh, yeah.
Early
at
morning.
8 o'clock
uh-huh.
was the service.
I see.
And 10 o'clock high mass
mm-hmm.
and 2 o'clock Vespers.
Mm-hmm.
And you socialize after that.
I see.
Sunday was a Sunday. We didn't work. Mm-hmm. We just got together and maybe sing, maybe talk. And mm-hmm. we had a good time. And here, for me, it was hard because, you know, when you don't go to school here, you have no friends.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You make friends in school. And I didn't have that. I still don't have it.
I see.
Mm-hmm. You get to know the people, and you make friends, like when I joined the choir here, that's when I really make friends.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And got to know more people that way. But before it was hard.
Sure, I can see that. Mm-hmm. Those bonds that you make in early life just were lost to you, right?
Yeah, uh-huh. I didn't uh-huh. have that. I uh-huh. still don't have it.
Uh-huh.
And I will never have it because I wasn't here.
Sure.
And here when we came, well, I don't think they had an early service on Sunday here, but I think they had Saturday, that vesper that we used to have on Sunday afternoon.
Okay.
I think Father Romero had that in the Cantor Horvath.
Mm-hmm.
They had that Vecchurina, they call.
Mm-hmm.
But then I don't know when they stopped that. After a while, they didn't have that anymore.
Okay. But they did have it when you first
yes.
came.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah.
Were there any other differences that you saw in the churches from here and in Europe?
Well, the singing compared to home singing was very poor.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. In village, in our village, everybody sang. We either had a choir or we had people singing, but everything is a harmony and everybody was a little children. They knew how to sing already, even with the whispers, not just high mass.
Mm-hmm.
And when we came here, and I don't want to say anything about Cantor, but it wasn't a Cantor like I used to know Cantors.
Want to tell me about that? What were the Cantors like?
Well, they were educated, like my brother-in-law or my brother. They went to the teacher's college.
Mm-hmm.
Along with the teacher's college, you got a Cantor certificate.
I see.
And you had to know every note and everything about the whispers or all the singing in church.
All the services.
You had to know.
Mm-hmm.
And notes, you had to know notes. You had to know how to teach choir. And of course, these cantors here, they don't have that much education about it. You know, they learn in 6 weeks. What mm-hmm. can you learn in 6 weeks?
So was the cantor's job a full-time job for them?
It was a teacher
mm-hmm.
and a cantor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like every morning, 8 o'clock, you had to go to church first, to school.
To the village school?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So
he had a paying job. You know, like he, for the cantor's job, he had a home and he had property, like farms.
Oh, that was part of the parish
position
then.
Right.
I see.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And for the teaching job, he had a government pay.
Okay. Were the cantors assigned to a parish? Were they moved around to different parishes or villages?
Yes,
mm-hmm.
if they wanted to. But if they want to stay there, like we had our teacher, a cantor, he was there for, until he died.
Mm-hmm.
And but the second teacher, you know, because later on they had mm-hmm. even more, maybe men, you know, left. But when I was growing up, there was only two. But the older teacher was the cantor too. The younger teacher was only teaching. He was not a cantor.
I see. Did the you said even the little children knew how to sing.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Were they taught that in school or as part
yes.
of the religion classes or what?
On that Wednesday afternoon when we had religion class, we mm-hmm. learned. And then you learn at home. Yeah. Everybody had a book. And everybody sang. When they went to church, they sang.
Okay, and you said you would come home on Sundays and sing then too, right?
Not at home.
Oh.
But, you know, like after 2 o'clock service, that whisper,
mm-hmm.
after that, everybody was kind of free for maybe 2 hours until they had to go home and cook or take care of the farm. You had, you know,
Stay together there.
Stay together, and young people got together, and they may be singing or maybe even dancing. Somebody had an accordion. Mm-hmm. And they had a good time. And see, I can't really tell you what it is like now.
No.
Because when I go for a visit, I stay only one day to see my father's grave, my brother's grave, and talk to some relatives, and go back where my mother is now, which is a city, Russia. Mm-hmm. And that's different there. It's just like a city here.
Okay.
They have everything, you know. And even the village now, they have electricity. And they have a bus service, go to the city. That time when I was small, we didn't have that. We had to go, we walk. You walk to the city for 2 hours to get there. If you want to do some shopping.
I see.
You had grocery store at home in the village, but if you want to go, if you want to buy shoes or clothes, you had to go to the city and you walk.
Mm-hmm. There was no electricity either?
At that time, no electricity. No. Just that gas lamp.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you've seen quite a few changes.
Yeah. See, because my parents came from America, they already learned a little bit better. They wanted their children to live better.
Mm-hmm.
I never really remember not having what we needed. Because they saved their money, they came to Europe, they built a home, they still have some money, and they were farming after that. So we always have what we needed. We didn't have to suffer, really.
You weren't really in poverty?
No.
Okay.
No, I can say that. No, my parents were very nice people, very good people to us.
Good. Okay. Now, did it take you very long to learn English when you did come to?
Well, because I didn't have any friends, I started reading anything.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I just look in the magazine and try to make, you know, a few words, and slowly I understood some of it. But when Johnny went to college, I went to work. And I think most of my English I learned when I was working.
Where was that?
Penny Farm Candies.
Oh.
Downtown.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's, by reading. I learned by reading.
You taught yourself. Mm-hmm. Now, you said you got involved in the choir in church.
Mm-hmm.
When was that?
Father John Romiak, the junior.
Mm-hmm.
That's when we started choir.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't really have a good teacher at that time.
No.
And we had a nice group. We had about 50 people. They wanted to join the choir. So Father Romiak, because Nick Fabian was cantor at that time. I don't think he had any schooling. He just started singing, and mm-hmm. Father Romiak helped him, and he wanted Nick to teach us. But for him it wasn't easy because he didn't know that.
He didn't know how to teach.
He didn't know how to teach until Mr. Hess came. Then he started. And of course he knew everything about choir. So that's when I started. And Nadine started with me, and my niece started with me. That's when I really got to know more people.
Was Father Romiak Jr. still the pastor at this time?
Yes.
Okay. Had Mr. Ress received a formal cantor's training?
Oh, yeah.
Where did he get his training at?
Well, you see, he was in a seminary.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, he was in a seminary. I think he only needed 1 year to be a priest.
I see.
He left.
Oh.
So yeah, he knows everything about it.
Very good.
He knows everything about Byzantine Rite, and he knows about the singing, and
Was he in the seminary here in Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
Okay. How long did that choir continue then?
I really don't remember what year he came. Do you remember? Here's a picture of our choir, and that's not all the members. We had more members that day.
Oh, okay. And this is with the bishop?
Yeah, Bishop Kuczynski.
Mm-hmm. Was this a special occasion?
He was visiting, I think. Okay. It was a visit. Until Mr. Harris left, we had that choir. Do you remember when he left?
He was still there when we got married, and that was 1972, and he was there for several years after that, I know.
I don't remember the year he left, but it must be at least 6 years now, or maybe more.
Probably more than
that. And
more,
after that, the choir just fell apart because there was no one to take over. And that was bad. We all felt very bad, because by then we knew four different masses to sing. We learned a lot, and then we just lost it.
Do you think those people would be interested in getting back together again? If they would?
Some of them, I think, would, yes. Maybe not all of them, but probably most of them would. Some of the men, they joined them St. Michael Choir now, like Mike Osher, Mike Kuzma, Joe Bayes, because they have a men's choir. So some of the members joined that choir. But us ladies, we lost.
There's nothing for you.
There's nothing.
No. Aside from the choir, were there any other activities that you were involved in the parish?
Not until I joined this club here, Byzantine Ladies Association. And then I joined the Sacred Heart Societies that belong to that now. But I liked the club. I got to know people there a lot.
When did you join that, do you remember?
When it was first formed, I don't remember the year, but we already celebrated 10 years, and it must be about 15 years now.
Okay. So would you say in the early 70s?
Yes.
Maybe? So you had already been here quite some time by then?
Well, it's been 36 years already that we've been here, from 1950.
Yes.
It is 86. That's 36 years. And I know a lot of people in church, but a lot of them gone already. And I made my good friends with a lot of them.
Okay. Going back to the 50s then, that's when the school was first formed. Did your children go to BCC school?
Just Nadine, because the boys were already in high school.
I see.
Yeah, Nadine went to school to Byzantine.
Do you remember anything about the early years of the school?
Not much, because I started working, and I couldn't join any PTA or anything because my hours were really long. You know, like I started, the shop opened 10 o'clock, I had to work till 6. By the time I got home, it was 7, so I really didn't. The only thing I can remember when we had the pilgrimage, in school, you used to have a pilgrimage.
What do you remember about that?
Well, what do I remember?
Was that a yearly event, the pilgrimage?
Yes. Yeah, we had it every year. And I think that was for 2 days or 3 days.
I think 3 days.
3 days.
OK.
transfer, yeah. And it was often like during the night, you know, the Eucharist was in one of the rooms. And all night long, somebody had to be there.
Was that before they started making the pilgrimages to Uniontown?
No, they already had that.
They already had that, okay.
Bishop Urantia started that, or Bishop Elko, I'm not sure which one of them started.
Okay.
But I think, I remember Elko better than Urantia. So maybe Elko was the one.
So what about when we began having the liturgies in English? What do you remember about that?
I remember Father Janowitz, he started singing that. And Nick Delia.
Okay. Were you comfortable with that?
Yes.
Were you?
Yeah. The melodies were the same. Yeah, some you have to change a little bit because of the words.
To fit.
But oh yes, I liked it.
Okay. That's good. What about the times of some of our other pastors? Do you remember anything in particular about the time of Father Lefkula when he was here?
I remember him as a hard-working priest. He put this cemetery in order. You know, he did. He cleaned it up. He worked hard. And he married Nadine. He was there. Nadine got married when he was here.
Okay. Didn't he do a lot of musical writing?
Yes, but not in here.
Not when he was
after
here?
After he went, yeah.
That was afterwards? Mm-hmm. Okay.
I remember Father Skornik was our assistant one time. I remember Father Paul Rilek was assistant. He was very nice. I like Father Paul. Okay. I think that was with the, I think Father Paul was with Father Romer, the senior. And Father Moskornik, I think, was with Father John Jr. I like them all. The priest is a priest. I respect them.
That's good. And in more recent years with Father Koval?
Yes.
Duker.
Father Duker, Father Koval, well, you don't remember him, don't you?
Yes, he was the one that married us.
Yeah. He was nice. He liked him. He, his sermon was very short, and his services were shorter too. Now, Father John, when he was very nice person. As a person, he was very nice to talk to. Yeah. And but he was ill. He wasn't well.
That's Father Romack Jr., right?
Junior. And he got upset many times, yeah. And some people didn't like that. And there were a lot of complaints.
But you think that was mostly due to his illness?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. He was, my husband was the parson at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And he got to know Father John very well. And he sympathized with his illness because he had so much medicine on the table. He probably didn't need anything but medicine.
No. Mm-hmm.
So even if he was, you know, doing something that people didn't like, it wasn't really his fault. He suffered. He was in pain.
Mm-hmm. And he eventually retired due to his illness, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
One thing that we didn't talk about, and I'd like to know, how did you celebrate your holidays in Europe?
In Europe?
Yes.
Oh, boy. Which one? Christmas?
Okay, start with Christmas.
It was beautiful. Because where we live, Zavadka is on like a, on a hill. And you can see the whole speech from Zavadka. You can see Tatra Mountains. And you get that cold air straight to Zavadka. And it's, and Zavadka is very cold. A lot of snow and clean because, you know, it's clean. There is no factories there.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And I remember Christmas. Well, all the confusion, all the baking and... yes, but the church service, like midnight mass,
mm-hmm.
it was 12 o'clock, exactly 12 o'clock. Mm-hmm. When you walk to church, boy, you hear that squeaking snow.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And we were in church at least 2 hours, if not more. Everything was... Nobody kept anything in books. Everything, the reading and the singing was done. And then, but that was midnight.
Was that a candlelight service?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Could you describe what did it look like? What did the inside of the church look like then?
Well, just like here, you know, with the no electricity.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have electricity. This is just the candles
mm-hmm.
and flowers.
Did you have an icon screen then at your church?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Not in Zavadka.
No.
Zavadka didn't have a iconostas. Because, see, before even we came to Zavadka, they had a fire and church burned.
Oh.
And then they, I don't know how they started the church, but in, I think in 1920s, somewhere in 1920s, they made it bigger. They rebuilt the church, and what else can I say? See, you can think when you don't.
Bells were outside.
Bells were outside that time, but then later on they put them in the tower.
Mm-hmm.
And the holidays were always 3 days.
3 days.
Mm-hmm. The, you know, the Christmas Day, the second day is Blessed Mother Day, and the third day is St. Stephen's Day. And you don't do anything, you just
mm-hmm.
go to church 3 times a day, and then you socialize. We were visiting mm-hmm. after Vespers.
You ate, I'll bet.
Yes.
Did you exchange gifts then at Christmas?
Not
at
that
all?
Much. No. We always had a Christmas tree.
Did you?
With the candles on.
Mm-hmm. The real
candles. Little candles.
Yeah.
And like, you know, like my parents, they came from America, but they had some decorations. They brought some decorations from here.
Oh, they took them back with them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, they took a lot of things with them. Not
mm-hmm.
the furniture, but, you know, like they had a clock.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And, the decorations and all the you know, the like tablecloths and different things like that that they could take, they took it.
Were the other people a little bit envious of that they had those kind of things?
Yes,
mm-hmm.
some of them were,
mm-hmm.
but there were more people like us there. I know that they came from Europe, mm-hmm. from America to they returned home.
Were there any other things in particular about Christmas that you can remember?
Yes, like I remember. My father didn't like that, but I know my friends had it. You slept on the floor. Christmas Eve, they brought in straw. You move your table somewhere else, and all the kids, they slept on the floor on that straw. And my, we wanted so bad, but my father didn't want it.
Oh, he wouldn't let you do it.
He didn't want it. He said, it's too much dust, too much roar. So we went to our friend's house and, you know, like before midnight mass, Christmas Eve, young people go and sing under the windows,
carol.
Christmas song, mm-hmm. carolings.
Mm-hmm.
But not the boys, just the girls.
Oh.
And so that was still about maybe, we started probably 6 o'clock and do it till 10 o'clock. Then we went to that house that has that straw, you know, mm-hmm. We lay down for a while, 12 o'clock, we went to church. And after church, we came home, we always had something to eat before we went to bed. That was probably 3 o'clock by mm-hmm. then. Mm-hmm. And of course, kolache, and like Christmas, we didn't eat anything, not even milk. All we had is we call it posipanki, which is like you make a dough bread, mm-hmm. and you water with honey and a poppy seed, and you put that together and you eat that cold, and that's all we had. We had that posipanki, we had fruit, and hot tea maybe.
When was that now?
At Christmas Eve.
Oh, okay.
All day long.
Okay.
You didn't eat anything
uh-huh.
with milk
uh-huh.
or meat or
right.
cheese, nothing.
Just same as during Lent.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. At mm-hmm. Christmas Day, Christmas all day like that.
Mm-hmm. So then, what were some of the foods that you did eat on Christmas Day?
Christmas Day?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we usually have maybe chicken soup
mm-hmm.
and maybe roast, maybe ham. Kolbasa. Some people had horki because you always had something, you know, they could eat before Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything else?
No.
About Christmas? Okay, then what about your Easter traditions?
Easter? Well, then start like, you know, like that first Monday, that's a strict fast.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't eat meat all Lent long. We just like had dairy product in, you know, Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, Saturday and Sunday. Friday, we had to strict fast every Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Just like here on Good Friday.
Okay.
And then to church, we went every Wednesday, every Friday, we had services.
Is it a pre-sanctified liturgy like we have here now?
No, we didn't have that.
No?
Mm-hmm.
What was it like?
Not until they started here. I never heard of it before.
Mm-hmm. What were your services like? Do you remember during Lent?
Yes. Paraklis, they call it. That was to Blessed Mother on Wednesday. It's a service to Blessed Mother.
Mm-hmm.
And on Friday, to Sacred Heart.
Oh, okay.
So that's what we had that time. And they were nice services, but they don't have it now. I like that presanctified mass, but I think those other services were nice too.
Okay. And then what about Holy Week? What was that like, the week before Easter?
Yes.
Is that very, very...
Well, we started going to church Thursday night, and then every day after that,
mm-hmm.
like holy, good. No, Thursday they read the 12 Gospels in the
mm-hmm.
evening. Thursday in that service, then Friday, it wasn't a working day; it was a holiday. And 10 o'clock they had a service, which was 4 Gospels. And then in the afternoon, I think 3 o'clock every. It's Friday, 3 o'clock, we went to church. What we had here in the evening, we had that in the afternoon, you know, that service that they put that plushinitsa in the grave.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they also, they didn't have all night service, you know. Just after service, you went home Friday.
Did you have the procession around the church?
Yes, three times.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Sunday morning again. Sunday morning. Now Saturday, you could go to church all day long, anytime you want to. But they also have a service in it Saturday evening. And then the resurrection service was always 3 o'clock in the morning, Sunday morning. And that was nice.
3 o'clock in the morning?
3 o'clock Sunday morning. And you really felt that it's really happening,
uh-huh,
you know?
Uh-huh. By the time you got out then, was the sun starting to
sure.
rise?
Sure,
uh-huh,
yes.
That was beautiful.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what about the blessing of the baskets?
That's after the whole the high mass, because there was only one priest, mm-hmm. and that time they didn't allow him to have more than one mass. So he only had one.
That was actually done on Easter Sunday,
right,
after the high mass. Yeah. What foods did you put in? Was it the same that we do now?
Same, yeah. Uh-huh. Pasca, kolbasi, ham, eggs, whatever you wanted.
Mm-hmm.
We never put collagen, just pasca.
Okay. And the days after, did you have that custom with the sprinkling of the water that I've heard about?
Uh-huh. Sunday was, everybody was home. Monday was a service three times a day, just like on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And after the Vespers, the second day on Easter, the boys were sprinkling the girls.
Mm-hmm.
That's before the service, in the morning.
Uh-huh.
And
every girl had ducked.
And then Tuesday, the girls supposed to do that to the boys, but we didn't do it.
You didn't?
Mm-mm.
Why not?
Maybe you did it to your brother,
oh.
Or maybe you did it to your neighbor.
Oh.
But we didn't go like the boys did.
Mm-hmm.
No, wherever the girl lived,
they came after you.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. And not with the perfume or anything like that. Real cold water, and you were sometime maybe you were all dressed up, and your hair combed, and they splash
really
you with that.
You
got mad too.
Was there any kind of reasoning? Why did they do that? What was the meaning?
We didn't know that.
You never knew.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Nobody even questioned.
Mm-hmm.
It just was there.
Okay.
And but Tuesday after this afternoon service, everybody mm-hmm. went home to change. And then everybody was pouring water on whoever. It was a lot of fun, but a lot of people got mad too.
Uh-huh.
But young people had a lot of fun, and especially if the Easter was nice and warm.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you got wet, you got all over, but you didn't care
uh-huh.
because you were already wet. So if they wanted to spill water on you, that's okay. But we had a lot of fun with that. That was Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. Gee, that's news to me. I have heard like the boys doing the girls and then the girls doing the boys, but I didn't know that everybody got into the act like that.
After, Tuesday uh-huh. after service, uh-huh. everybody got into it.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you had a lot of fun.
Sounds like it was. Did you do anything on Wednesday, or was it pretty much
over
by then?
No, that was the
end.
Uh-huh.
That
was the end of it.
Everybody went water from wells. And anybody got caught at the well, so then you had 10, 20 people in there just free for all. Anybody come in and get water.
Let's see.
Cold water.
Okay, Mrs. Terpak. Now you said you still have your mother who's 95,
yeah.
And she lives there. Do you communicate with her in letters?
Yeah.
She writes.
Well, I call her now.
Oh, do you?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
We used to just write letters, and see, when my dad died, that's 26 years ago my dad died, he was 72. My mom sold the house in the village and she moved with my sister in Prešov,
mm-hmm.
and that's where she lived.
Mm-hmm.
She still lived, but my sister died, and my mother lived with my grandmama.
Oh, I see.
He was visiting here this summer. Maybe you saw him in church with us.
Gee, I don't know if I did or not.
Yeah.
How did he find it when he came here?
Oh, shocked.
Really?
He just couldn't get over it. How we live, what we have, and how much we have. And maybe we don't appreciate it. Many people don't appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
All they do is complain, and I can't stand it, because
mm-hmm.
I've been there,
mm-hmm.
and I know what it is like there and what it is like here, and I just say, if you don't like it, go there.
Has your mother ever been here?
She was here visiting, oh, what, 11 years ago, and she was here. She didn't understand.
She didn't?
No, because when my, see, my sister was ill for many years. And when my mother moved there, my sister twins, she had twins, the youngest, they were only 3 years old. Oh. And she kind of raised them.
I see.
And when my sister died, she just felt that she has to be there to take care of them, to take care of the family.
Sister, that's my mom there, when she was here. And that's fourth generation. My mom, me, and my daughter, and her two kids. We had to take her because, you know, not to, she would feel hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's lovely.
That's 11 years ago, and she still looks like that,
does she? Do you ever have any problems in communicating with your mother? You're always able to get through to her?
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
At first I had to go through, when I want to talk to her, I had to go through New York, the operator, and then Prague and Prešov. But now, I just dial 11 numbers and I talk to my mother.
Isn't that wonderful?
That's just...
Just like you.
Yeah, just like I would call my son in Dayton.
Isn't that amazing?
It is.
Considering that in your first village there was no electricity and no buses, like you said.
Yeah. But because, see, now in our village, they still don't have a telephone, but they have a telephone only in one of these stores that is like, what you call it, like farmers used to have those stores. What do they call
them? General store?
Yes, that's what they have. And there's a telephone. And if they want to call someone, they can call.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm.
But see, if I call there and want to talk to somebody, well, by the time they get them to get to the phone,
they charge for you.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you can do that. But because my mom, they live in a city, they have a telephone at home, so you can do it.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. What you said about people not appreciating what they have here, I can really see what you're saying.
Uh-huh. They don't know what they have.
No, I'm sure. I don't know.
They never stop and think what kind of life they have here.
Mm-hmm. We just take it
Nobody
for granted.
Else in the world have that. Nobody.
Mm-hmm. Do you, is there anything else that you think that is important to talk about that we didn't cover yet?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. Maybe there is, but you know,
it's
just
hard
don't,
to think, what would you say to the children of our parish in regards to their heritage? Is there anything that you want them to keep in mind as they grow up? Is there anything in particular?
Well, I just hope they keep their own Byzantine right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what kind of nationality they are.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think, one thing I wanted to say, I don't think priests should be involved in nationality. They should be involved in the Byzantine Rite and take care of that only. Not like, they would say every Byzantine Rite person is Ruthenian. That's not true.
Oh no, certainly not.
There are lots of Byzantine Rite people, different nationalities.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, some of them wanted to do that. They wanted to, they pressed that every Ruthenian, I mean every Byzantine is Ruthenian. That's not true.
Oh no.
You were all over Europe and
it had
Byzantine everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Not everywhere, we didn't, not in Stockholm or Germany we didn't, but everywhere else we did. And there are a lot of nationalities that have Byzantine right.
There's one
there, Miss Antonia Wright is not very well known.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Because there are not, you know, that many, but mm-hmm. there is. But there are lots of other ones.
One mistake the priest of I have yet to hear a priest explain in the church the difference between nationality and religion.
A lot of our people, you know, the older people. See, the older people, like my mother was, mm-hmm. you know, when she mm-hmm. first came over, they didn't know anything else. They knew what's going on in the village. They didn't even go to school very much. They went to school during the winter months. As soon as the spring, they couldn't go to school. They didn't. They were lucky if they learned to read and write.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They had to work. And our older people...
So to them, the church and the nationality
right.
were the same.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
But that's not necessarily
no.
true.
Uh-uh.
No.
You have Hungarians presenting, right? You have Hungarians, you have Yugoslav. They're all Slavs, but they're all some are Byzantine somewhere. But you can't say he's a Slovak and he's a Byzantine Catholic, which could be true. But you can't have him say he's a Moravian and say he's a Ruthenian because he's a Byzantine Catholic.
No,
that's
a lot of our
priests
making a mistake. That they don't explain.
Well, Ruthenian dealt with the nationality.
Yes.
In particular,
right.
that nationality.
Right.
But the Byzantine is the whole rite, the way that people celebrate
their religion.
Right.
Yeah. Like the
mm-hmm.
Roman rite.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's one thing. That's nationality is another thing.
And
that's
people confuse them too.
Right,
much,
they
saying.
Do.
Uh-huh.
Right now they say Ruthenian, but where is a Ruthenian now? It doesn't exist.
No.
Now, right now it doesn't exist.
No.
But see, the first Czechoslovakian government, the Ruthenia was included in it, in that
mm-hmm.
one country.
Mm-hmm. That was one of the states or
right.
provinces.
Right, yeah.
provinces.
Uh-huh.
But not now. I think Ruthenia is included in Ukraine, in Russia. You know,
mm-hmm.
Russia took over everything.
It's part of Russia.
Hitler occupied Europe. He occupied Czechoslovakia first. So Czechoslovakia. Then after, in March 14, 1938, Slovakia became independent. Hitler gave us independence, the Slovaks. The other parts, the other three were occupied by Hitler. And Ruthenia also had their independence for about 3 months. And then they were incorporated into Russia and Hungary. So they were eliminated.
Mm-hmm.
And that was all during the World War II. After World War II, Czechoslovakia was incorporated again into the new Czechoslovak government. So Ruthenia since then does not exist. And here they say in our papers and everywhere that I have to tell the truth because I know this. I know the history there. I was there. I know it. We are not Ruthenians. There are some Ruthenians from here. But I'll say freely that 85% of our Byzantine Catholics in our church are Slovaks.
Really?
They are.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely are.
In our particular church, you mean St. Nicholas?
In our particular church. And that was certified to me by one of the priests that was already on the commission.
Okay.
Because I asked that question. I said, how many? Yeah, Slovakia, 85-90%.
Was that because of the villages that their families came from? They were the Slovak villages
yeah.
rather than the Ruthenian. I
right.
see.
Hmm. I can. I know where my ancestors came from.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So.
But they didn't come from Ruthenia. Definitely.
So we're Slovak Byzantine more than Ruthenian
sure.
Byzantine.
Yeah.
Okay.
80-85% of the parishioners are Slovaks.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm.
Because to prove it, have a priest send out a letter. Where were your parents born?
Mm-hmm.
Or village.
Mm-hmm.
Village, not village.
Village is important.
Because
too.
The old people now, like the grandparents, will say Austria-Hungary, which existed before World War I. after World War I, there was no Austria-Hungary, no more, it just Czechoslovakia.
Mm-hmm.
And those people, when they came here, they said, where are you from? Austria-Hungary. Then when the census came around, they were Austrians or Hungarians, and not Slovaks or Ruthenians.
I see.
That's where we lost our people.
And mm-hmm. There's that letter, that's a good explanation, that you got it in from Bishop Kosciuszko.
Yeah, where is it? Which one is it?
Mm-hmm. So you mean when they gave the definition, when they said that they were, when they split them up either into Austrian or Hungarian, and if they said Hungarian, then they just...
It's a man who was writing the census.
Yes.
Whatever he decided, he put down Austrian or Hungarian.
Just up to his own whim.
It was up to him to put down whatever he wants.
Mm-hmm.
It was either Austrian or Hungarian.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'd say majority of them were written down as Hungarians.
And that's how come they
now,
caught him?
Our priest, there was a study in Europe, I don't know where it is. They studied, some of them in Budapest, or in there, because we didn't have a seminary, so they studied there. But they were visiting Catholics. And they adhered to the Hungarian customs and everything. So they were, at heart, they were Hungarians, although they were Byzantine Catholic
mm-hmm.
priests.
Mm-hmm.
See, before First War, everything was Austro-Hungary, because that the
yes, uh-huh.
the kings all over
the empire.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
the empire.
Uh-huh.
Then you start teaching our people in children in school Hungarian.
Yeah, when my mother and father went to school, it was Hungarian.
Besides Slovak. Mm-hmm. Now, did you? Every village in Elsa talk about Slovakian, as it goes for all the nations too. Every village has its own dialect, its dialects.
Right.
But the literary Slovak is all over. They teach that in school, but at home they talk the dialect.
I see. Mm-hmm. So, really then, like what you're saying about the children, no matter what nationality they are, to still maintain
right.
the Byzantine rite,
yes.
that's what's important.
I think Byzantine rite
uh-huh.
is beautiful.
Mm-hmm. It is. Uh-huh.
And I think they, that's what they should teach them, to keep that, that's first.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know, like American children now, they grew up in here. They are Americans.
Mm-hmm.
Who, where do they care what nationality they were at home?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they want to know.
Yeah.
But they are here.
But some of them have so many different ones. Like my own children
yes.
have about five or six at least
right.
different ones.
Yeah.
In the next generation,
they want to know. They want the history, but
mm-hmm.
they don't care otherwise.
Usually
but
not.
They're right.
Mm-hmm.
They should remember. They should care.
That's a good
yes.
point.
Bishop Sheen says because he conducted our first English mass in English was conducted in Uniontown by Bishop Sheen.
Do you remember that? You don't remember?
I've heard of it. Mm-hmm.
And the first one in our district here was with the dedication of St. Michael's Church. He was there also. It was the first English mass in our deanery.
Bishop Sheen came
Bishop
to St. Michael's.
He was there.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that our mass is the most beautiful because of the singing.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the singing, it's the most beautiful mass you ever heard or conducted.
Mm-hmm.
Now the children over here, they had that youth organization. That was very good because they were getting more and more and more youth. They were into that organization every year. That's the only thing that will hold our youth together, an organization like that. Without any youth organization, they're gonna lose our children.
Mm-hmm. Well, if there's nothing else that you could think of.
If you can think of something, you can call me.
Okay. Okay. I thank you very much. It's been very informative.
I don't know if there is anything.
Oh, yes. Believe me. Thank you very
I'm
much.
I'm glad for one thing. Father Dennis is mum of our routine now. That I give him credit. He never mentions routine in the mass or anywhere.
Ah. Mm-hmm.
See, but
I give him credit for that.
Is that
but
on
I
here?
Think because of his parents.
Really?
I give him credit for that quietly.
Mm-hmm.
I hope he never mentions routine in our church.
I see.
No, because It's very confusing.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. First thing they said, where's Ruthenia? Mm-hmm. Right now, to any U.S., anybody on the church, you talk about, I mean, on the street, or anybody, you might say, well, where is Ruthenia? Because Ruthenia doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. You can mention any other country, yeah, the new ones, the old ones.
And that must have been hard for the people that
came. Why do you insist we are Ruthenians when the two persons are doing it?
But I did read, though, that it was hard for the people that were coming here through the customs agencies, and they would say Ruthenian, where's that? You know, so right. Then they did have to put down something else.
They
know?
Have to.
Uh-huh. Because most people hadn't ever heard of it.
They have to keep up some of the customs. They don't lose them because they lose the customs, they don't lose anything.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Oh, he would talk too much.
Thank you.